a king after God's own heart, who is a yes parent.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of the message airing tonight, Pastor Brian Grant reminded us how King David's life was a roller coaster ride. Though he is called a man after God's own heart, David's family was a disaster zone. Yet, Pastor Grant showed from Scripture how, in the disastrous behavior of his children, there is a blueprint that offers a different kind of outcome for parents who choose to stand as godly role models for their children. Listen now as Pastor Grant picks up his message and brings it to a conclusion. Here again is Pastor Grant with Fireproofing Your Family.
Parent, guard your children's friendships, oversee them, and even if they are your relatives. Oh, my. We could talk. Boy, I wish we had time to talk. Because this is where we let down our guard. Your cousin is a con man. Your cousin's a drug addict. Listen, if he come over your house, you better make sure you're always in earshot. And don't send your kids over to his house without some supervision. That guy probably ain't sending him over mine over there, period. Person is a sex addict. You say, okay, since there are other people in the house, I can send my kids over for the night. You must be crazy. You need parents. We need to oversee their friendships. David dropped the ball because Jonadab is his nephew. But for crying out loud, everybody know that Jonadab is a con man. The Bible tells you he's crafty. Everybody know the man is a con man. A shyster. What in the world? Well, I better move on. Did you get the point? Did you get the point? You got to be observant, but you got to oversee their friendships. But third, don't be a yes parent. Look at verse 6, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please, daddy, let Tamar, my sister, come make a couple of cakes for me in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home to Tamar saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house. And you know, we read it already, right? Let me ask you a question. What would you say if it were you? What would you be saying? I'm reading this thing. I'm like, you know what I notice about palaces? They have a whole lot of cooks. For crying out loud, David could have said to him, I got Bobby Flay in the kitchen. I got Emerald. I got the best chefs. The best chefs in Jerusalem are in my kitchen. And your dear sister Tamar, she don't even know how to turn on the oven. Why in the world would you want Tamar to come bake your cake when we got the best cake makers? And then I'd have to ask him, why does she have to do it in front of you? Why can't she make the cake in the kitchen? Is that where you make the cakes? Who makes cakes in their bedroom? Are you a yes parent? I wonder if you realize that David was a serious yes parent. One of the most special men in the Bible. This tells us, you know, because sometimes the girls walk around and they're hoping to find a man that's a good husband. And because he say this, he's the one. Listen, not every Christian is going to be a good father. Or a good mother. How in the world are we going to make this cake in this bedroom is what I really want to know. Come on, David. Wake up. He said, are you sure David was a yes man? Did you hear what Tamar said to her brother? Were you paying attention when they were reading? Here's what he said. She said to her brother, no, verse 12. No, don't force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Where does it say if you ask my dad? Oh, yes, verse. Now, therefore, please speak to the king. He will not withhold me. He'll allow us to marry. Well, if David allowed them to marry, he's even worse of a yes man than I thought. Because this was a sin in the sight of God. This was against the law. So, it shows how the children regarded themselves as being able to wrap their daddy around their fingers. Anything we want, daddy is going to do it. Are there parents here this morning or who are listening to me this morning and the children are wrapping you around their finger? They know they can wrap you around the finger. They can actually predict what you will do, even if it's against the word of God. That's what we have here. A king after God's own heart who is a yes parent. And I fear that this morning that God's word is going out to some yes parent and God is sending you his word because he wants you to pay heed. Because listen, if you continue on that path, sadly, and we're going to get to some more really serious consequences of this form of yes parenting. My friend, we cannot stay on this path. I wonder what was David's excuse for being such a zoned out parent. Perhaps, what do you think he most likely would say? He was busy. For crying out loud, he was the king. He was the king in wartime. That takes even more time. But do you know that God held him guilty? And I want you to know, my brother and sister, no matter how busy you think you are, being busy is no excuse. God expects us, he has given us the responsibility as parents, and he expects us to execute. And listen, don't allow your children to pressure you. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Listen, if you need wisdom to raise your children, if you need wisdom, listen, not only if you need, you do need wisdom. But sometimes you need God's special wisdom because the child is pressuring you to do something. And too sadly, sometimes we give in. No, don't let the child pressure you into anything. You say to that child, listen, give me more time so I can find out what God wants me to do. Amen. Listen, practice saying it. Give me more time so I can find out what God wants me to do. Don't be a yes parent. Yes parenting is deadly. Fireproofing our families require that we become godly role models. It requires that we avoid being zoned out parents. But third, it also requires that we lovingly correct and train our children. We lovingly correct and train our children. Jump over to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Verse number 5. Then Adonijah. Please, I hope none of my children give their children these big long names. It may be hard for me to spell. I'm getting a little older. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Get it now? Adonijah is David's son by Haggith, and he has concluded that he is what? will be king. Is David dead? No. David is very much alive, but his son decides, I am going to be king. And so he prepared him for himself, chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. And listen to this. Don't miss verse 6. And his father had not rebuked him at any time. Can I read that again? His father had not rebuked him at any time by saying, why have you done this? At no time. The boy lived his whole life and his daddy had never ever corrected him. He was also very good looking. Is that why? I don't know why the Bible threw that in right there. Let me just say this, and this popped into my mind. Do you know sometimes when our children, we think they are good looking, we make a lot of breaks for them. Did you know that? Oh, all right, let me move on. He was very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. So these joined forces to help overthrow the king. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rai, and the mighty men who belonged to David did not join this insurrection and rebellion and plot to overthrow the king. David had not rebuked him at any time. David dropped the ball. But you know, this shouldn't shock us. Because when it came to, if you continued reading the story with when Amnon raped Tamar, the Bible tells us that David was very angry. But guess what he did? Nothing. He was angry because his son raped his sister. But he did nothing. You see, David was one of those parents who did not want to displease their child. Are you one of those parents? You don't want to create no waves. I don't want to displease my children. You know, if we desire our children to walk with God, listen good. If we desire our children to walk with God, we must train them to walk in righteousness. If we want them to walk with God, we got to train them to walk in righteousness. Because since they were born sinners, they're going to sin naturally. The one thing your child don't need no training in is how to sin. Am I right about that? They were born sinners. Why does an apple tree bear apples? You don't have to teach it how to bear apples. It's going to bear apples and not mangoes. And what is a sinner going to do? They're going to sin. They're not going to walk in righteousness. The only way your child is going to walk in righteousness is because you trained that child to walk in righteousness. Good parenting requires intentionality. We must intentionally, oh, come with me now. We must intentionally train our children to walk with God, and training sometimes will cause pain. Oh, I could testify. I'm a witness. I experienced a lot of pain. Parents, particularly my father, he didn't believe in sparing the rod to spoil the child. Sadly, David didn't retrain his children, and he ended up raising a bunch of dysfunctional children. Just imagine, Adonijah became such a spoiled brat, he decided to overthrow his father as king, and he was willing to have his father killed if he tried to stop it. But you want me to tell you something else that is shocking? This was not the first time. Because Absalom did the same thing. When you go home, you can read 2 Samuel 15, and we're told that Absalom led a well-organized rebellion to overthrow David. And the Bible tells us that David the king had to run from Jerusalem and flee for his life, running from his own son. These crazy people tell us, I'm sorry, let me use better words. There are people, I have to be politically correct sometimes, there are people who will tell us that if you discipline your child, you will drive them away. Anybody ever heard that? Might I suggest to you that the people who risk losing their children are those who refuse to discipline them. And my brother and sister, I see young people here today. I hope you're taking notes. Some of you don't have no children yet. But you better make sure you're learning from this lesson that when it's your turn, you discipline them and you discipline them in a godly way. You don't abuse them. But listen, if you fail to discipline them, if you fail to train your children in righteousness, you run the risk of losing your children. Proverbs 22:15 counsels us, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it, what? Far from him. That's Proverbs 22:15. Now I know some parents, I've met them, who said they'll never use the rod on their child. You better make sure you're not making up the rules. You say, well, Pastor, why would you say that? I'm saying it because God has a whole lot of instruction. Why wouldn't you use his instruction manual? Why would you listen to what the world is saying and allow the world's way to override God's way? Amen. Wouldn't you agree with me that God is right 100% of the time? I'm not talking about abuse, because every time we talk about spanking, people immediately have abuse in their mind. Listen, abuse is a heinous crime in the sight of God. We're not talking about abuse, but we're talking about making sure that you use sometimes corporate punishment to help that child learn what God wants them to do. Discipline and training does not always require spanking. Let's make sure we don't become spanking. What is the word? Spanking. That's my only discipline. No. Discipline and training does not always require spanking, but it includes spanking. May God help us to be intentional in training our children in righteousness. What have we said so far? As we seek to fireproof our family, we must be a good role model. We must avoid being zoned out parents. We must lovingly correct and train them. And fourth thing we'll cover today, prepare your children to honor and serve the Lord. Prepare your children to honor and serve the Lord. Don't worry, I'm almost landing. Prepare your children to honor and serve the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Here's how it reads. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commands, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their ways, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Verse 3, keep the charge of your Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimony. David had blown it with most of his children, but he finally got it right with his 10th son, Solomon. May I encourage you, don't wait until God blesses you with your 10th son before you get serious about raising your sons and daughters to honor and serve the Lord. We need to get started right now. You know, one of the most main attractions at Universal Studios is the tram tour through the movie lot. I don't know if you've ever done the tram tour through the movie lot, either in the California Universal Studios or the Florida one. Both of them are the same thing. You know, as you drive along, you'll get to see incredible high-rise buildings. You'll see western towns. You will see modern-day towns. You'll pass spectacular upscale neighborhoods. And you will run into these things right around the corner. You're 1 minute you're in downtown L.A., the next minute you're in a fabulous neighborhood in Beverly Hills, and the next minute you're in London. Oh, they are so spectacular. And when you see them on TV, everything looks so real. But they're all facades. If you got a chance to go behind what you see, there is absolutely nothing behind there. It's just a false front. It was all designed to give an impression. You know, sadly, some Christian families have wonderful facades. From the outside, it seems like mom and dad are serious about raising children for God, that they're fully committed. They're putting in all the effort to train their children for God. But sometimes, if you were to look behind the scenes, not much is going on. Not much discipline is going on. Not much teaching of the word is going on. Not much sacrifice for the things of God are going on. But my friend, today God is asking us. He's calling us. He's calling every parent. This is a moment of renewal. A moment of recommitment. A moment when you say, God, I want to intentionally train my children in righteousness. God, will you help me? Guess what? He will. If you make the effort, if you make the commitment, and you make the effort, God will help.